So, what are we watching again?
Oh, man. A truly fucked up, badly done, corny, and disturbing MAGA propaganda video.
Oh, great.
Wait till you see this. Ready?
Hit it. I'm gonna hate this, aren't I?
More than you can possibly imagine.
That was Gloria. You know the significance of Gloria? Yeah.
I know what that's about.
Yep. And it's your turn, bro.
Oh, God. It is, isn't it? Okay. You know what?
No more raccoon burritos for Timo.
Well, that and...
Watch this propaganda video later.
Yeah. 'Cause this is gonna take a while. Do we have any more...
Hazmat suits are in the closet, bro. Fumes box.
They'll never find us in here. Those Antifa radical left-wing Iranian extremists will shoot down the wrong plane. That was quick thinking, Natalie Harp. You're not as crazy as your eyes and obsession over me indicate you are.
Oh, thank you, Pookie Bear. I mean, Mr. President. And just let me say, sir, I am so...
Move over, Natalie Harp. You're all over me. I can't feel my... Listen, smell that? What the kafifi is that smell, Natalie Harp? Anyway, something smells like absolute shit in here.
Oh, Mr. President, I'm sorry. I think that's my breath, sir, from kissing your huge ass. But forgive me, Mr. President, but I'm afraid you've shit yourself.
Again? Quick, Natalie Harp, change my diaper. That's an executive order.
But... Mr. President, there's no room in this food container. Your narcissistic ego is too big. And forgive me for saying so, sir, but you have put on some more weight.
Nonsense. I weigh just the same as I did in college. 185 pounds. I'm in tremendous shape. Tremendous. My fake doctors have declared me to be the healthiest president who ever lived. So much health. The best health.
Yes, sir, I know, sir. But, sir, you sweat when you eat your nightly block of cheese. In fact, you sweat every time I powder your giant pimply ass when I change your diaper. But, sir, we need to be quiet in here. We don't want the Iranians or Melania to know we're hiding in here.
You're right, Natalie Harp, you're right. That's one bigly huge reason I hired you to do... whatever it is you do in the newly named Donald J. Trump White House, which I'm going to have gold-plated and paid for by Canada. What's that? Do you hear that, Ivanka? I mean, Natalie Harp? Speaking of Ivanka, have you seen her around anymore at all? I haven't seen her lately. Boy, she's hot. So very hot. Even though she's my daughter... I would so date her. I'd date her brains out, Natalie Harp. Ivanka and I were going to make America white again. We were going to deport all the radical leftist Antifa Benghazi email cannibals far away. So very far. We were going to deport them to some third world country, like Florida. Ah, Ivanka. So hot. So very hot.
Mr. President?
Yes, Ivanka. I mean, Natalie Harp.
I was just informed that we've been abducted by aliens, sir.
What? Abducted by Canadians? Oh, no. Canadians hate me, Natalie Harp. They...
Not Canadians, sir. Aliens. I think they may be Martians.
Martians?
Yes, sir. Listen.
What's going on around here, anyway?
I think we're moving, sir.
They can't do that. I'm the president of some country I don't remember the name of. For the love of Pelosi, get Christine Ohm on the phone.
Sir, I think we're being transported to their ship.
What? No, they can't do that. My ballroom, my arch de Trump, my reflecting pool. Ivanka, help me!
This is a disgrace! You can't get rid of Trump like this! I'll sue! I'll bomb the whole world! I'll Benghazi! I'll Epstein files! Hillary's email!
And happy trails to you, you big fat orange fascist.
You think he gets a bag of stale peanuts on that flight?
He is a bag of stale peanuts. be that as I wish it were. Hello there, friends, and welcome in to this, the 282nd edition of Fusebox, tastefully titled Jerk in the Box, where I am your returning my seat to its fully upright and locked position host, Mark Rose, and over there, sitting pretty in the Fusebox Audio Lounge, the dictator of dynamics, Milt Keynes, everybody.
Well, thank you kindly, man. You know, I wish that orange idiot would be taken to Mars.
Or Uranus. Well, see, now that's what I think Fusebox actually represents, Mr. Keynes. We're providing a public service here. We help to vent the frustration we all feel.
We could use a bigger vent.
Well, it's on back order. In the meantime, we have a full plate of interesting doodads and even a doohickey or two or nine on the Fusebox docket today.
My sphincter quivers in anticipation.
For example, there are actually good things going on out there, including, but not limited to, the big blue wave that grows steadily as the result of the recent primary elections around the country have clearly reflected.
Putting the fear of dog in the grand old Reich is always a good thing.
And they have much to worry about.
Hey, Mitch McConnell. Still dead?
Yeah, unconfirmed, but a safe bet.
Long overdue, bro. Long overdue.
Well, the GOP propaganda machine did present video of his furniture being loaded onto a moving truck.
Yep. Nothing to see here, folks. Keep it moving.
Well, looking ahead, friends, we have another installment from 42nd Street Pete in his Grindhouse Minute. And let me tell you something. This one has an interesting story behind the story that you positively won't want to miss.
Yeah?
Yes, sirree. All I can say is that it is a truly small world. So please do stay with us as we embark on another joyful jaunt through Jerktown.
Oh, what a party it's going to be.
You like that one, guys?
Zombies! Yay!
Oh, that's a classic. Zombie Holocaust. Or retitled as Dr. Butcher, M.D., Medical Deviant. Oh, how did I learn about all this? Well, you know, back in the day, through magazines. Famous Monsters, Castle of Frankenstein, things like that. Yeah, like the ones I have upstairs. But you know what? There's a new place to go for info about stuff like this and everything else in the Grindhouse world. Yes, there is, Milo. It's called Grindhouse Resurrection Magazine. And it's jam-packed with articles about these films. You know, the folks who write for GRM, they lived it. And there's a piece in the premiere issue all about early zombie movies without a bite. You should check it out. There's a link in the show description to get your paws on a copy.
Grindhouse Resurrection! Yay!
Bad case of RFK-itis?
Tell me one piece of misinformation I've ever said. One statement, just one.
For every one life they save from COVID, they're killing four people from the vaccine.
Have we got a vaccine for you? TheFuseBoxShow.com.
And welcome back, friends.
So, can we talk about this disturbing propaganda video that Pollard sent us?
I thought you'd never ask.
Well, first, third, and second of all, what the actual and genuine flaming fuck?
Friends, our colleague in audio crime over here, Jeff Pollard, sent us this video.
Well, which is linked in our show notes, folks, but watch it at your own risk because Jesus Harold Christ on rubber crutches, it's beyond insane.
Yeah. I dare say Joseph Goebbels would be proud of this propaganda music video. It includes three guys discussing it and pointing out the extremely disturbing symbolism sprinkled throughout the video, which I believe is a recent thing. Right, Mr. Keynes?
I guess. Yeah. Maybe. Bro, I don't know who the singer is in it, but...
Good reason for that. She's fake. She's AI. And I bet the song itself is too. The visuals are certainly AI generated.
Oh, so shit, I didn't even think of that. You're right. Yeah.
Well, she's very white, very blonde, very blue-eyed, very Aryan, if you catch my drift. Like I said, Joseph Goebbels would be proud of this latest Republican propaganda effort.
Oh, it's fucking scary, bro.
So, friends, you really should see this music video, but the three commentators are examining it at a forensic level. Seriously, they're taking apart each shot and discovering the hidden or not so hidden symbolism throughout.
Bro, there are hundreds of weird and disturbing clues throughout this thing. The mysterious red folder, freaking time portals, past U.S. presidents. I mean, it's...
And just a whole lot of racist undertones. It looks like something Stephen Miller would have dreamed up.
Or Goebbels, Hitler's minister of propaganda for the Third Reich, as you mentioned before.
Yeah, it's disturbingly packed with all the tropes that QAnon and Proud Boys and MAGA morons have wet dreams about. And hey, look... I've been known to be a fan of some conspiracy theories, but mostly just for fun, of course.
Fake moon landing.
Hey, I have the receipts, buddy.
Now, were those real receipts or were they JCPenney receipts?
Benghazi. Hunter Biden's laptop.
Reflecting pool vandals.
Hillary's emails. Emails, I tell you.
They're eating the dogs. They're eating the cats.
Anyway, this racist, fascist, MAGA, AI-generated music video had me completely baffled. Not just...
Oh, scared me to death, bro.
Well, yeah, but not just by the direction of the content, but by the sheer amount of Easter eggs in this thing. It's exhausting. And scary.
Yeah, one minute I thought... Oh, yeah, I see what you did there. And then a second later, it'd be like, what the fuck is this thing? I mean, I...
Well, clearly, it's for the Republican Party's pro-white, pro-Christian, pro-heterosexual agenda, courtesy of Donald J. Trump. Because this music video is obviously pro-MAGA. Honestly, though, there are points in this thing, like where the AI singer is weeping, saying, you know, it's not too late to change... And that's just a clear message that we should go back to the way it was when being American meant being white, being Christian, being heterosexual. You saw how all the imagery reflected the 1950s, right? That and everything in this video is deliberate. There's no subtlety anywhere in it. But the good news, according to some recent poll numbers, Herr Trump is underwater by something like minus 24 points. Minus 24. That
Trump underwater. Yeah, you know, I like that idea.
I will drown them and I can't swim with my tiny hands. I'm too fat to float. Help phone. My toupee is floating away. Natalie Hartown.
Ah, if only.
Yeah, I just hope those are shark-infested waters that fat loser is flailing in.
Well, as you mentioned, we've linked that video in the show notes, friend, so you can make up your own mind about it. But yes, be warned, it's very disturbing to those of us who aren't ignorant racist bigots.
Hello, I'm here to bring you the good news.
And now, to hopefully balance all the MAGA lunacy out a tick or two, here are some great things going on in this highly confused world. Milt?
Well, starting in China, new energy vehicles made up more than 60% of China's car sales in July. The first time the monthly figure has crossed that line. Their cumulative share of the market has now passed 50%, too, which means two in every three cars sold last month were the kind you plug in rather than fill up, and backed by a charging network that has now grown to more than 23 million points nationwide.
Oh, Mr. Market Manipulator and his oily friends raking in obscene profits will not like that. No. And speaking of total lack of smartness, your brain may age in a sudden lurch around midlife. The standard story is that our neurons and memory start fading slowly in our 30s, but a new science study of cells from 40 human hippocampi belonging to people in their 20s to well over 100 years of age says something very different. Most of the change is packed into a window between the ages of 50 and 75. In that stretch, the brain's original immune cells, present since before birth, give way to inflammatory cells from the blood.
Bro, how is that good news?
Well, if you'll just unclench for a moment, Mr. Keynes, I shall explain. It's because the culprits arrive via the bloodstream rather than the brain itself. They might one day be intercepted there. A far easier place to get at than inside your skull. You follow?
Oh, yeah, got it. Well, then I'll raise a glass, or several, to that. And along that same line, there's this from the National Geographic. Familiar music can sometimes draw out memories and emotional responses in people with dementia, while rhythmic auditory cues can improve aspects of walking in some people afflicted with Parkinson's disease or stroke. Now, researchers are moving beyond the broad observation that music can help. They're trying to identify which of its components, rhythm, tempo, familiarity, melody, or precisely timed sensory pulses, produce measurable effects in the brain and body. Edward Large, or Big Ed to his friends, a theoretical neuroscientist and physicist who directs the Music Dynamics Laboratory at the University of Connecticut, studies how the brain detects and anticipates rhythm. Initially, Large says he was skeptical that music therapy had a measurable scientific basis. The turning point came when music therapist Conchita Tomeno, who co-founded the Institute for Music and Neurologic Function, invited Edward Large to observe and participate in a 30-minute patient drum circle. I wonder if they were naked. As the group began to play, Large watched previously withdrawn patients begin tapping their feet, swaying in time, and responding to one another. Large's laboratory later tested a related idea, whether the brain merely follows a beat or actively constructs one. They created 30-second sequences of complex syncopated drum patterns in which listeners could perceive a steady pulse even though the sound contained no acoustic energy at that frequency. As participants listened, the researchers used, oh boy, this is a tough one, folks, magnetoencephalography, or MEG, to...
well done!
to measure the tiny magnetic fields produced by neural activity. The researchers detected activity at the missing pulse frequency in the auditory cortex. They weren't just remembering the rhythm, explains Large. They were physically generating it internally. The effects of rhythm may also depend on how closely it matches the listener. In a recent study, Carolyn Palmer and her team at McGill University first measured each participant's spontaneous production rate, the natural tempo at which the person tapped a familiar melody. The researchers then played music at that rate or at tempos 15% faster or slower. Participants reported the least pain when the music matched their natural tempo. The study used experimentally induced heat pain in healthy adults, so it does not show that personalized music can replace pain medication as yet. But it suggests that music's effects may depend not only on what a person hears, but on how its timing relates to the body's own rhythms. Boy, you know what? I need a drink after that.
What you just shared there, Mr. Keynes, is something shamans have known forever. That sounds used in healing rituals generate frequencies that can actually promote healing.
Yeah, I think I pulled my uvula trying to get through that one.
Well, you have Fusebox friend and contributor Jody Lorimer to thank for sending that one to us. I, for one, truly love when things like this are discovered and then they can be linked back to some pretty ancient practices where folks were already implementing it.
Hey, do they have a way to musically make demented fat orange pedophiles explode?
You know, I don't know about that. I do support that idea, though. Yeah. But I do know this. Up next is a sassy, spanky new installment of 42nd Street Pete's Grindhouse Minute, and this one is very cool, Mr. Keynes, with a side of extra creepy.
Well, of course it does.
Friends, here's 42nd Street Pete sharing his thoughts on a film from 1976 called Death Collector.
Every family should protect its honor.
He's Scalise's nephew, and you don't abuse a Scalise.
But only one family repays dishonor with death. At the hands of the family enforcer.
I don't want violence. I don't want you breaking his arms, or shooting him, or whatever you people do.
Go tell it to a tombstone.
And now it's time for another Grindhouse Minute with 42nd Street Pete.
Okay, another Grindhouse moment going back to 1976, a mob film called The Death Collector. When I went to see this, the opening sequence looked very, very familiar to me because it was only about 2 miles from where I was living at the time in the Meadowlands, New Jersey, the swamp area down by the New Jersey Turnpike, where this car stops and they're basically dumping a body in the ditch. And it goes back to this whole thing where this guy got out of jail, got a job for, you know, collecting for the mob and basically screwed everything up. But the interesting part is that it is the first film with Joe Pesci and Frank Vincent. Now, here's the segue. I was working as a mechanic in Lyndhurst, like I said, close to where it was filmed. And this guy I know named Perry comes in with a guy who needed an oil change. And he goes, could you squeeze Joey in real quick? And I said, sure, no problem. I know Perry. Well, Joey turned out to be Joe Pesci. Didn't know that at the time. Anyway, it was all shot locally. I knew all the places, Hasbrook Heights and things like that. And then they go to this junkyard that I did business with, SARS Auto Wreckers. Here's the weird part about the whole thing. This guy does a bunch of stuff. There's a bunch of double crosses, triple crosses. His buddies get killed. He has to blow a couple of guys away. He's going to leave town with his girl, and he's going to buy this camper from somebody down at the Auto Wreckers place. They're setting him up for this camper, and all of a sudden, I see somebody I know walking through the weeds. Then I see a car door open, and it's this guy Perry I just spoke about. So basically, these guys just basically blow this guy away in a pretty bloody scene. But now here's the segue. One of the guys who was the hitman actually was this crook. And actually, something happened, and he went to jail. And he got out, and he started asking around and setting guys up. And to make a long story short, the hitman got hit himself. They found him in a car down at the Holiday Inn in Lyndhurst, overdosed. So story was that people got sick of what was going on and basically took him out. But as far as this film goes, it's a minor classic simply because of the, you know, the appearance of Joe Pesci and Frank Vincent. And that's where Martin Scorsese actually saw them and started using them in his films. This is also going to be in the queue with Grindhouse releasing because it was released under another title, Family Enforcer, and it should be out. I don't know when, but it's definitely in the queue. So definitely worth checking out, even if you can find the public domain version of it.
Stay safe. We'll catch you on the flip side.
This has been another Grindhouse Minute with 42nd Street Pete.
Joe freaking Pesci? From 76?
Yeah, how about that? Now, I haven't seen this film, but just the backstory alone on this one makes me want to seek it out.
Well, you know, seriously, any first-time role is fun to watch, but man, that whole oil change thing, that's the shit right there.
Yeah, it truly is. And the mobster ending up sleeping with the fishes, or I guess that would be sleeping with the dashboard or something. I don't know. Anyway, thanks to 42nd Street Pete for that one.
For the review, not for whacking the guy in the car.
Yeah, but you never know about Pete, though.
Yeah, you know, those Joyzy guys, you know, hey, forget about it.
And with that somewhat scary thought...
Somewhat?
We'll call it a show, friends, but not before thanking our participants in this edition of Fusebox. 42nd Street Pete for another deep dive into the world of Grindhouse goodness. Aaron Lane for vocal pronouncements. Jody Lorimer for a dose of good news. And Gregory Wilson for ideal ideifications. Thanks, as always, to the interdimensional man of mystery, the Deacon of Dials, Milt Keynes, for technical assistance and all that there and everywhere, Nismint.
It was a true slice for sure. Folks, you know the drill. If you want to help out our show, and why wouldn't you, head over to the Fusebox Patreon page, become a member, and get free swag, new and exclusive content, early show releases, and more. That's patreon.com/thefuseboxshow to make it happen.
We would so appreciate that, friends. And be sure to check out all the nifty Fusebox merchandise located in the menu above on our website, conveniently located at thefuseboxshow.com. Thanks also to the fine, friendly folks at Grindhouse Resurrection Magazine for their continued goodwill. And, of course, it wouldn't be a show without our thanking all of you out there in the universe for pushing play on this latest edition of Fusebox. We do so hope we crammed your ear holes with all the audio goodness that got us banned in Utah.
Wait, I thought I was the reason we got banned in Utah.
Well, you certainly didn't help, Mr. Keynes, what with your sexcapades and sinful ways.
Well, you know, a job worth doing, as they say.
Indeed. Friends, I am, once again, now and always, until I shouldn't or can't not, have been your standing in for somebody sitting down, host, Mark Rowe, saying, until our next cartoon.
Oh, bro, get the plunger. Chemo's plugged up the toilet again.
Oh, for the love of Epstein.